Hello, and welcome to another edition of Arena Football Radio's AF Nation podcast. I am your host, Chris Hopkins, joined today by Connor Gomer. We will be going over the conference championship games, which happened on Sunday, and right now we're in a bye week going into the Arena Bowl, so, you know, we're on the tail end of the 2014 season of the Arena Football League. And, you know, just to start off, the results from last week, the conference championships. In the American Conference Championship, Cleveland was able to defeat the Orlando Predators 56-46, taking many people by surprise because it wasn't a last-second finish, and it was actually a victory that was more than 7 points. And then Arizona was able to knock off their longtime rival, San Jose Sabercats, 72-56 in the National Conference Championship game. So I'm going to bring Connor back in here. So, you know, Connor, just start off. I know you're a big Cleveland advocate, have been since week three. I'll give you the credit. You've predicted this miraculous run by the Gladiators. So, you know, just to start off with the American Conference Championship game, what happened? You know, what were the big plays, big moments? Who kind of stood out as a top performer in the game? Just, you know, overall thoughts of the game.
Oh, I mean, Cleveland did what it does best, and that's just control the game. Shane Austin, very consistent all year. You know, he did what he does best, and that's just, you know, control the game, make sure his receivers catch his passes, and they ended up just kind of really just taking care of Orlando. Not really a flashy victory like they have at Philly, not really a dominating victory like Arizona's done all year, but they just kind of punched Orlando in the mouth, begin the game, and then just kind of rode that lead all the way to the fourth quarter, and then they were able to finish it out.
Yeah, unfortunately for Bernard Morris, third time was not a charm for him. That's his third straight loss in the American Conference Championship, the last two coming while he was a member of the Jacksonville Sharks. You know, it was a close game, like you said. It wasn't, nobody really ran, obviously Cleveland didn't really run away with it. It was a close game. You know, Orlando had some timely scores near the end. Unfortunately, their kicker, Mark Lewis, missed some key extra points that made the game a two-possession game when it should have been a one-possession game. So that kind of changed the dynamic of how Orlando was playing down the stretch and made them more of a scrambling mode as opposed to, you know, being able to kind of let Cleveland play it out, if you know what I'm saying there.
No, absolutely. And I think that I just kept waiting for Bernard Morris to just kind of, you know, get that big play that set Orlando over the edge, but just it really, just I don't know, it just didn't happen for the Predators last week.
He was, relatively speaking, he was kind of tempered. He only had 5 combined touchdowns, 4 through the air and 1 on the ground, and then he had that interception. You know, what we'd seen from Morris the past couple of weeks, it was just he'd been such a statistical machine. So, no, you're right. I was waiting for that, you know, that scramble out of the pocket for 20 yards or that deep pass. And, yeah, you know, I think his receivers, you know, Gerald Young had a great game. Greg Carr, his first playoff game, 2 touchdowns. But outside of that, you know, his receivers, they didn't really step up to the job. And I think that's a great testament to the Cleveland secondary, which has been their anchor of that whole team the whole year. I mean, they've set the tone both emotionally, physically, in the locker room. That secondary has really just been the focal point for the Gladiators team in 2014.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And it's kind of surprising. Well, I guess not surprising, but when Mario Norman, when he left the team, it was kind of up in the air whether or not they're still going to be that dominating force mm-hmm. in the secondary. And I think they proved everyone wrong and just kind of kept winning games.
Yeah, and after Shane Austin's last performance against Philadelphia in his first career playoff game, I know there's a lot of questions about his, you know, how he was going to respond to that. And, you know, he came out marvelously with 7 touchdowns, completing 22 of 32 passes, no interceptions. So he was efficient and effective where he needed to be and didn't turn the ball over, which wasn't the case last week against Philadelphia. Now going over to the other side of the country there, we had the San Jose Sabercats traveling to the desert to take on the Rattlers, longtime rivals. These teams have met a couple times in the Arena Bowl. You know, ever since both of their existences, they've been staunch rivals, but this is the first time they've ever met in a conference championship setting. So this is new ground for both of them, but not new ground with the familiarity on both sides of the ball. Coach Guy used to be an assistant with Coach Darren Arbett in San Jose. Marquise Floyd used to play there. We all know the connections. Arizona was able to come out of that with a 72-56 victory. Same thing here, Connor. What kind of stood out to you in this game?
I think Nick DeVia. I mean, that was vintage DeVia playoff football. I mean, 10 total touchdowns. And, I mean, he has been shaky against the Sabercats at times this year. So for him to come out and have a performance like that, I think that was the key to the Arizona's win. I don't see how anyone could say it wasn't. I mean, he was just unstoppable under center.
Yeah, and his counterpart in that game, Nathan Stanley, who started the game for San Jose. You know, we forget sometimes that he is a rookie, and that was definitely his biggest professional game of his career. And he looked like a rookie in that first half, and obviously, our bets felt the same way because he replaced him with Russ Micna. And Micna played, you know, played great in the backup role. And he really hadn't seen too much action since suffering that injury in week 12. And Stanley took over from there. So, you know, Micna's kind of played intermittently. But, you know, coming off the bench there with six touchdowns. I'm you know, right out the gates in the third quarter, he had that long, deep strike to Reggie Gray. So I thought, he played well, but... Like you said, Davila was just too dominant. Arizona just wasn't making any mistakes. So, you know, San Jose got themselves in a hole, and Arizona just wasn't making any mistakes, so they couldn't climb their way out of that hole.
Yeah, I mean, once Micna came in, it was almost too little too late. I mean, with Davila playing the way he was and all the momentum they had, it was just, you know, nothing Micna could do, even though he did throw for six touchdowns.
No, you're right, and... Yeah, after last week's tough game against Portland, who was, you know, an inferior opponent to Arizona, and they took him down to the wire, and, you know, Arizona kind of faltering down the stretch of the regular season. There are a lot of people wondering, you know, is Arizona kind of just burnt out, or do they still have anything left in their tank? And, you know, I think they put all those questions, they silenced all of those questions, rather, by, you know, coming out with, you know, a dominant performance. Because San Jose played, you know, down the stretch of the season, was one of the best teams in the league.
One of the hottest teams going into this game.
One of the hottest teams. They knocked Arizona off in their, what was it, the Week 13 match?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Week 13. Well, regardless of when it was, they snapped Arizona's record 18-game winning streak, which dated back to last season. And they didn't just beat them. They dominated Arizona in that game. So it was good to see Arizona kind of bounce back there. You know, Coach Guy, he knows what he's doing. He's been doing it for a while, so it was no surprise in terms of that. But
it just goes to show you how important that leadership of Kevin Guy is. I mean, he's the best in the NFL right now, getting his guys ready to play.
Yeah, and, you know, all the core players showed up. Rod Windsor had a big game, 107 yards, three touchdowns. Kerry Reed, who's been there... quote-unquote Iron Man all season, as he played both sides of the ball, had tacked on another 80 yards and two touchdowns. So, yeah. And interesting enough, Chris Jackson signed on with Arizona right before the game, former Offensive Player of the Year, former Rookie of the Year, last played with Arizona in 2011. I think he wants to sniff another ring, so he signed on, dusted off the cleats, and came back after... 3-year absence, and he looked good, you know, 3 catches, 54 yards, still getting back into the swing of things, but...
It was weird to see Chris Jackson out there, to be honest. It's like, all year you're seeing these phenomenal receivers for Arizona, and all of a sudden the veteran comes back one more time, trying to get that last wing, that last ring.
Yeah, and, you know, with Rod Windsor, Kerry Reed, Tyson Poots, and now with Chris Jackson, that's a full roster of receivers.
Yeah, it's hard to stop those four guys.
Yeah, and I'd be remiss if I didn't note my favorite play of the game was the little dump pass to Michael Huey, who was just rumbling, stumbling, and bumbling all the way into the end zone. I think he broke like a couple tackles there.
Oh yeah, right at the end of half.
Yeah, right at the end of the half. That was a killer right there. If San Jose would have been able to stop him or hold him to a field goal, I think they could have changed to the. How they would have approached the second half, but that touchdown was huge. And Michael Huey, that was awesome watching him take mm-hmm. down all those defenders.
It's almost like a...
Mike Allstott from Tampa Bay back in the day.
Absolutely,
yeah. That was one of my favorite players growing up, Mike Allstott. Loved hearing Chris Berman doing his highlights. Rumbling, stumbling, bumbling.
Love to see the big guys get in the end zone.
Love to see the big guys get in the end zone. I love seeing big guys dance. Fat guys dancing are always funny to me. That's something that will never get old. All right, well, yeah. I mean, obviously just another... We had all four division winners going up against each other in conference championship. Both number one seeds coming out with victories. And now with Cleveland having the best record in the regular season, Arena Bowl will be in Cleveland, land of LeBron, land of Johnny Football. So they will be hosting their first ever Arena Bowl as Cleveland makes their first ever Arena Bowl appearance. I'm going to send it over to Jenny Ruddy, who gives us our AFL Minute, a little update on happenings around the league in the past week. So, Jenny.
Here with your AFL Minute, I'm Jenny Ruddy. This week, the Arena Football League mourns the loss of Hall of Fame coach Perry Moss, who passed away last Thursday at the age of 88. AFL Commissioner Jerry B. Kurz said that Perry was a driving force in not only the creation of our sport, but also in sustaining it. Moss's career in football spanned 50 years and through seven different decades. He was also one of the founding fathers of Arena Football. With your AFL Minute, I'm Jenny Ruddy, keeping the best fans in sports.
All right, thank you, Jenny. And, going into some of the storylines going into this Arena Bowl, I think the one that really stands out, that really pops off the page, is the experience versus the youth. Arizona players, obviously, they've been in the last three Arena Bowls, winning the last two. They lost their first one against Jacksonville. And Arizona players have combined to be in a part of 45 total Arena Bowls, while Cleveland is only two players on the roster have made Arena Bowl appearances, LaRache Jackson while playing for the Jacksonville Sharks, which actually beat the Arizona Rattlers in 2011, and then Jason Jones was a member of the Philadelphia Soul. So, Connor, with the experience versus the youth, do you think that's going to play a factor in this game, or do you think it's kind of just out the door at this point?
Absolutely, I think it's going to play a factor. And you have a quarterback in Nick DeVia who's seen three Arena Bowls, won two of them, was Arena Bowl MVP in one. This will be his fourth.
Everybody had to kind of start in where Cleveland is. So do you see this being a deciding factor in this game?
I think it does. Anytime you have an experience in a veteran team, a veteran squad, I think that it absolutely helps your team stay focused and be able to realize the importance of the game and of each play and each individual play. Now, while Cleveland has been, the young guys have been firing all cylinders this year, I think that Arizona does hold a little bit of advantage because of the experience they have.
I think it's worth noting DeVia's first Arena Bowl. He went up against a veteran quarterback, Aaron Garcia, and he came up short as Garcia was able to win on the last play there, but kind of a similar thing there, but the script's been flipped. And Coach Stevie Tom does have some Arena Bowl experience. He actually played with the Chicago Bruisers in Arena Bowl 2, and then was also an assistant coach with the Georgia Force later on. And then assistant coach Ron Zaleski was an assistant with Tampa Bay in Arena Bowl 7. So Cleveland does have some experience, but it's limited. In your preparation, do you think that it changes at all when going into this Arena Bowl, or how does the experience help them?
Like I said, they realize the importance of this game, and I don't think it's something that can be overlooked when comparing these two teams, because you'll have a coach like Kevin Guy, who's been a head coach for a number of years in the AFL and coached in a lot of Arena Bowls, and he's going to get his guys ready to play, and not to take anything away from Coach Tom, because he's had an incredible year, but I think that he doesn't really know necessarily what to say to his guys. Coach Kevin Guy does, and I think that definitely will play a factor in the preparation stage. Additionally, I don't see how the Cleveland guys are going to compare in game to the Arizona guys. I don't know if you can imagine what it'd be like to be playing in the Arena Bowl, the big event of the year, the championship, the culmination of the season. And just, I feel like it does play a factor, because you don't know which players on your team, if they don't have the experience, are going to have that deer in the headlights look in game.
That's true. I think something that could, or do you think that being able to play at home kind of softens the blow of the bright lights, because they get to play in the comforts of the Q Arena in front of their, or I mean the majority of their fans. So do you think that kind of, you know, neutralizes the fact that they'll be playing in such a big game?
Oh, I think it does. I mean, it definitely helps to play at home, and I mean they are undefeated at home this year, so they haven't really tasted any loss yet there. So I think it definitely gives them confidence going in. But I mean, Arizona has no reason to fear either because of what they have done, what they have already accomplished in this league. Because I mean, it's essentially the same team as last year and the year before. So I see them playing at home, giving them an advantage. But I still like to give the edge to Arizona just because of the experience that Arizona has.
All right, fair enough. And an interesting tidbit going into this game is this a connection between a couple players who all played together at the University of Cincinnati, Cincinnati Bearcats. Nick Davila, Dominic Goodman, and C.J. Cobb, obviously Davila being the quarterback for Arizona, Goodman being the receiver for Cleveland's and offensive lineman C.J. Cobb were on the same Cincinnati team that won the International Bowl in 2007. Davila was the starting quarterback in that game, and Dominic Goodman was the MVP of the game, hauling in 7 receptions for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. Davila completed 19 of 35 passes for 214 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. And C.J. Cobb started that on the offensive line. Now, to say that this has any meaning going into this game is up for debate, but I think it is an interesting thought that, you know, Davila used to throw to Goodman, Cobb used to block for Davila. It's just a, you know, it's an interesting crossover between the players, and even, you know, there's some other arena players in that game. Anthony Hoke was on that Cincinnati team, and Jamarcus Simmons was on the opposing team with Western Michigan. So just something to keep in mind as we move forward to this game. And I was actually able to sit down with Dominic Goodman, the MVP of that International Bowl and Cleveland's leading receiver, to talk about his first Arena Bowl and playing against his former college quarterback. Dominic was gracious enough to give me some time to talk with him. Congratulations on your first Arena Bowl. That was a great performance last week. What was working against the Orlando secondary?
Pretty much just hitting the zones. We kind of knew getting into it, they play a little bit zones. We get down the field, so pretty much game plan coming into the game was great, so we kind of figured out these games, hit the holes, and made plays.
All right. And now, obviously, Shane Austin had a kind of a rough performance against Philadelphia with the 5 interceptions. So what changed in his, you know, what kind of changed with him going from the 5 interceptions against Philadelphia to 7 touchdowns and no interceptions against Orlando?
Shane, the guy that is ready to go to work, you know, after that happened, went to see him, got folks that locked in, and he was just ready. He just knew what time it was, and got up there and executed and made plays.
There's a Cincinnati connection with you and C.J. Cobb and Nick Davila, and you were the MVP in the International Bowl in 2007 while Nick Davila was your quarterback. So what was Davila like in college?
Davila was a good guy. Got to know him. We both got there at the same time. He was good. He was real good. He threw me the ball a lot. He was a naked quarterback. Controversy in that situation, but Nick was real good in college. Threw me the ball a lot. We'd be on twos, whatever, and then we got in the games. We always had a good connection. I just knew where I'd be at and do it where I could get the ball.
Okay, do you guys still keep in touch?
Yeah, we still keep in touch, especially when we're out to Hawaii and China. We still talk.
Okay. Any trash talking going into this game between you two?
I'm trash talking pretty much as we both locked in and focused. Need to win, so he gonna come out there and locked and ready, and gotta be locked and ready because there's a chance for us too for a Arena Bowl.
Yeah, no, that's true. Well, yeah, Dominic, those are all the questions, but thank you for talking with me today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
And good luck next week.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
All right, so just a couple reminders. Make sure to go on our website, arenafootball.com, and interact with other AFL diehards on the AF Nation message board. And make sure to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our Twitter and Instagram handles are at AFL Arena Ball. And I want to thank all of our listeners who have been with us all season long. You know, we're going into the last week of the season. One last bite before we're done with our meal. And I am Chris Hopkins, signing off. Thank you.